The scripture before Jim's lesson is from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen.
Thank you for reading that. I'm just now noticing I probably should have had you read the verse before it as well. Most scripture readings don't start with the word lowercase but, right, in the middle of a sentence. And the thought here is very important as Peter closes this book, because he's concerned. He uses the word beware. He's concerned that people will be led away, led astray by error. And so he says, grow in grace and grow in knowledge. Sometimes I run across things at work that are not in any way, shape, or form intended to have spiritual connotation or meaning or value. But as a Christian, my mind goes that way, right? And so you apply those things to your life because Christianity is not Sunday at 9:45, or for some of you, 10:45. But it's our life, isn't it? It's our life. It's who we are in our marriage, in our parenting. It's who we are on the job, at school, in our neighborhoods. This word knowledge management is like a buzzword in the business place. It's nothing new. It's been around for a while. Because there's so much information to manage now. There have been a couple of shifts as far as business and industry go. I remember in school learning about the Industrial Revolution and machines and factories doing 50 times the production of what we mere mortals could just do with our hands. And it was a huge shift in the way people conducted business and trade. Then came the information age, and data is just now out there everywhere. Information is everywhere. It's at the fingertips of small children who hold iPads, and you know, Google's the new library. The problem, or a problem, is that there is so much information, and it's much of it is in digital form, it becomes hard to manage. I remember 20 years ago when I first started at work, my method of organization was file cabinets. I had file cabinets, and I had folders by topics, and I had bookshelves and a library of books, and that was at the church office and my other office. I relied on books and highlighters and tabs and fold the page and bookmark. And now, both of my offices are pretty bare when it comes to books. I've given away commentaries. I've given away many, many books to people because I can get that online. I don't need to keep hauling these heavy books around. And at work, one of the problems we have when we bring new people on board is there aren't memos now to pass out. There aren't books. It's all online learning, online files, and it's so much it becomes hard to even find the information sometimes. Where can I find this? Oh, that's on our ECN site. So you go to the search engine on the ECN site and I can't find it. I'm not an old guy, but I'm pretty old-fashioned. I preferred pulling out the paper memo that I had highlighted and circled and made notes on. I can find things. I will always be a paper Bible guy. A lot of you use digital Bibles. That's great. I don't know. It's my paper. But knowledge management is something that gets discussed every day because there are so many sources of information out there. We have laws, we have policies, and it doesn't matter if you work in a legal environment or if you work at Macy's. You have company policies that you have to follow. And Hope, for example, she bought a car the other day. And a car salesman now not only needs to know everything about that complex automobile, but they need to know the complexity of sales. And then they have an internal system that keeps track of customers, that keeps track of sales. We bought a car one time, and I walked into the finance office, and what should have looked like a desk looked like a monstrous TV, but it was the desk. And the finance guy comes in. You know the finance guy who prints out 80 pages and he's like, all of these are going in one envelope. And then he gives you that envelope that's exploding. He clicked on the big screen. His desk wasn't a monitor. And he handed me a stylus. I don't know if you've ever bought a car like this. First time seeing it. And he turns on the monitor and he just starts signing things and he turns the page over and I sign. Throws it into a folder, brings in the new page, he signs, he turns it around digitally, I tie it, you know, and then he emails it to me, and that was it. No paper. You have processes, you have technology now, instead of maybe a file folder, you might even have a legal department that's in your ear. You might have a guy at the desk next to you who's in your ear. You have clients and customers who are in your ear. The inundation of information is quite something. And if you're going to look up something on the internet, you're going to get that. It's just truly to the point, and this is just my opinion, but things have not become easier. It's the information age. There's so much information now available that it can be hard to manage. And, you know, you probably heard this phrase. I'm not sure who came up with the analogy, but getting information off the internet can be like drinking from a fire hydrant. The problem, or a problem, is that knowledge does not equal understanding, does it? Putting googobs of information in front of people and saying, here, take all that in, read all of that. It's not seemed to be leading to a wiser society. You remember Hosea said, my people, God said through Hosea, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. It's not because the old law went away. They still had the information. They still had God's law. So what does he mean, a lack of knowledge? Well, they didn't understand it. They didn't understand it to the point of obedience. They didn't grasp the gravity of the information and the source of the information. Knowledge is not just info. In fact, the proverb writer would tell us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So as far as the Bible is concerned, when it comes to knowledge and information God is giving us, it's more, far more than just data in your brain. That's why Jesus frequently spoke of the heart. And that's why New Testament writers really emphasize your motivation and your attitude. It's so much more than just even reading the Bible. If you read the Bible, that's great. If you study the Bible, that's better. If you meditate and think and ponder and chew on Scripture daily, that's better. I really appreciate what Gene said at the Lord's table in referencing 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, look back at the cross, right? Do this in remembrance of me. Look forward to my coming again. You're going to do this until I come. And then look inside. Let a man examine himself. And I thought, wow, that's a recipe for every day. You could wake up if I could wake up every morning and look back at the cross for a minute, look forward to the coming of Christ for a minute, and then look deep inside myself for a minute and say, where am I? That would go a long way. I mean, God's wisdom in telling us to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday, no doubt, is to start our week putting our mind right back where it should be. If we could build on that with a daily remembering, that'd be fantastic. But you know what? You are so inundated with information and data and things to do and think about. The devil has done a good job just pushing God to the side. Pushing our Bibles off to the side. Do we know this book? Do we read it? Do we study it? Do we meditate on it? We talk about it all the time, don't we? We talk about meditating on the Word of God. You heard that for over 30 years from my dad. Meditate on the Word of God. I've heard it for 45 years. Meditate. How many times did you hear a sermon or a Bible class that referenced Psalm 1, Joshua 1, meditate on the Word of God? Do we do it? Do we do it? What about the church and the great need to equip the saints? Ephesians 4, and teach our children and get God's people prepared to do God's work. So I'm at work, you know, thinking, I'm hearing about knowledge management. Where are we going to store these memos? And where are we going to store all this policy guidance? And where are we going to put this? And how do we make sure people have the information and use the information? Not just access it, but understand it, access it, have the tools at their disposal to help guide them. It's more than just saying, welcome to the church. Here's a Bible. Make sure you read it. Jesus in John 13 and verse 12, after he washed the disciples' feet, I'm pretty convinced if he'd walked out the door, they would have just felt good that their feet were clean. But he says, do you know what I have done? Oh yeah, you washed your feet. No. Do you know what I've done? You see it, you experienced it, but he has to tell them, go and do likewise. We can see things and experience things and know things on a surface level without really understanding or grasping them. Remember Romans 1:21. People know there's a creator. And although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. Jesus tells us, we know from John 8:31 and 32, to abide in his word, to know the truth. And if you were to run a concordance of your New Testament and look up that word knowledge, you're going to see an emphasis on knowing God, knowing Christ. Let's look at some of those. Philippians 3. Paul says, what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Paul was a smart man. He was very educated. He knew a lot of things. He counted it all garbage for the excellence. Man, what a beautiful phrase. For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And so Peter tells his reader, as was read for you a moment ago, to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Remember that list in 1 Peter 1. He says, give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge. If you look at that list, right? Faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness. It's interesting where you find knowledge on that list. It is below faith and virtue, which tells me this isn't an issue of data. This is an issue of data and information given to the hands of someone who lives by faith and is seeking to live that virtuous life. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20 says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter is worse, that should be worse, there's a typo there, for them than the beginning. How do you escape the pollutions of the world? How do you overcome the schemes of the devil? How do you see your way through the deceptions of this world? Peter says it starts with a knowledge of Christ. So my question to you, and when I look in the mirror, my question for me is, it's a knowledge management question. Am I managing that knowledge? Am I growing in that knowledge? Paul said to Timothy, he said, there are people who are always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. I don't want that to be me. I don't want that to be the church. Learning stuff. You know, there are people. There are preachers who can dissect a Greek word and tell you all sorts of things about a person, a place, a subject, and they don't love their wives, and they don't love their children, and they don't love their neighbor, and they've got a lot of problems. Data's not one of them. Information's not one of them. But they've not managed it or directed it to their heart in such a way that it has impact. We all know people who know a lot of things. Some of the smartest people in the world on an IQ chart, all right, they deny God exists. Why is that? Because they don't want to know God. Seek and ye shall find. It's that simple, Matthew 7. But if you're not going to seek out God, if you have no desire to know God, then you won't. What is our current knowledge management plan? What is your current knowledge management plan? Is it just a Sunday morning sermon? That's it? That's my, as far as Christ, Christianity, my faith, God's Word, as far as all that's concerned, my knowledge management plan is to hear a sermon every week. That's it. I'll throw in an occasional Wednesday night and a VBS. Okay, fine. I'll frame a Bible verse at home and I'll hit like on Facebook every time someone says a positive spiritual thing. Now we're trucking. What is our strategy to ensure growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? That is, Peter says, the key to avoid being led astray. And let me tell you, all you got to do is look at the church around the world to see that people leaving is quite a problem. People are easily led astray. And sometimes they're not led astray by some big false teaching. You know, we think led astray. Who was the false teacher that led him astray? And sometimes it's people who are so ungrounded, so unrooted, that any small thing comes along. One brother or one sister at the church says something they didn't like or offends them, and oh, they're gone. You're gone? You're abandoning God? You're abandoning Christ? You're abandoning all that you know to be true? You've been here for 15 years, 20 years? You're gone? What is our strategy? And we might need to rethink our plan or rethink what we're doing currently for ourselves, for our families. And I'm not talking about it has to be something new and clever. I'll go back to the old slide, the last slide. Just sitting around a kitchen table with your Bible open, that's pretty powerful stuff right there. Christian friends getting together, talking about God's word and praying about it, it's not an issue of reinventing. Truth is not in competition with other truths. Truth is only in competition with error. And it has no problem. Truth with both hands tied behind its back can beat error. But our kids, they're hearing a lot of error, aren't they? We are hearing a lot of error through our TVs, through our radios, through maybe our misinformed friends. I found an interesting quote from the Harvard Business School. They said, any business that excels in education and training will beat the competition. It appears that even the world has figured out that you need continued education to outsmart your competition. Of course, our competition, our competitor, I don't think we refer to as a competitor, we refer to as an enemy. But you combat error with truth. So answer these questions for yourself as I answer them for myself. Do I know the truth? Do I understand how to apply God's truth to my life? Another goal is to have the wisdom to go beyond knowledge and understanding, then to obedience, because really that's the goal. Not being a smarty pants. If you know these things, Jesus said, blessed are ye if you do them. Some of the newer translations say, if you know these things, happy are you. Makarios, it's that Matthew 5 word. Happy and blessed are you if you do them. You want to know the real secret and joy of living the Christian life? It's not reading your Bible. It's not thinking about your Bible. It's reading and thinking about your Bible to practice what the Bible says. There is a lot, though, for us to know. I'm the first to admit, there's a lot in the Bible to know and to learn and to do. And I think we would be smart to manage this process to the best of our ability. So how does it work? What do we do? I'm just going to mention in 2 minutes here a couple of little ideas, but I thought tonight, if you're back tonight, we're going to discuss as a group maybe some things that each of us do, and we can share those ideas. But if you don't have a plan, sorry, this is my soapbox I'm always on. If you don't have a plan, it's not going to happen. Things don't just happen. And complex things don't just happen. Do you know why that pilot has a checklist before he takes off and after he lands? It's because if you've ever looked in the cockpit, that dashboard, that gauge, those gauges are, there's tons of them. There's so much going on. They have a checklist to make sure, okay, is this right? This is right. This works. I've checked this out. I've checked all these things out. You, if you're like me, you might need a checklist. I'm going to do these things this week. Write them down. And then do them. Hold yourself accountable. But things do not just happen without a plan. Maybe seek out information. Bookmark websites. Ask other Christians for websites or Wendell Winkler's son, Dan Winkler, has a daily, it's 1 minute. It's literally 1 minute. He's sitting on his porch, and it's very Mr. Rogers. It's his happy thought for the day. And he reads a scripture, he makes a brief comment, and he says, "Now go be happy today," thinking about this truth from God's word. It's 1 minute. There's so much out there if we just manage it so that our spiritual diet is constant. I think we'll go a long way. I mean, there are some websites like I love Wayne Jackson, so I'm very partial to ChristianCourier.com, and the articles that are posted there, I read them. The second a new one comes out, I read it because I learn from that brother. You might want to start a library at home, or you may not. Like I said, you might just be an online person, and so you bookmark certain things. But plan exercises as well. Don't just sit behind the phone or the computer. The key is to then go and do something. Consult an expert or someone with experience and see what they do. Ask what they do. Talk about it constantly. Hebrews 10, we gather together to provoke, to push each other to love and good works. So we should be talking about this all the time. What can we do? Hey, what are you doing? Well, this is what I'm doing. That didn't work so well. I tried it with my kids and they were kind of turned off, but now I'm trying this. And so we bounce ideas off each other because really, when it comes to if you have a family and you've got kids, you really need to be creative. You need to make Bible study and doing God's work fun. Now, here's the beauty. It is fun. It feels good. When you do anything that God has asked you to do, believe me, it just works out that way. And not only for you, your small children. Now, you might at first have to say, "Hey, let's go. We're going to go to the hospital." "I don't want to go to the hospital." "I'll get you an ice cream afterwards." "Oh, I love going to the hospital." Yeah, but guess what? Then they grow out of the ice cream thing and they've been trained. They've been exercising themselves, or you've been exercising their little minds to godliness and creating patterns. We're not talking about gimmicks here, by the way. The Bible doesn't need any gimmicks. Gimmicks are for bad products. We've got the best of products. We've got the plan for the SOP that never needs to be updated. The best way to live right here. But we need to be thoughtful, and we need to think about how best to carry out Jesus' command. He seemed to have believed in knowledge management. He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel," right? But he said, "Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you." All things? Yeah, teach them to observe all things. Matthew 28 and verse 20. So, bringing the lesson to a conclusion, we come back to 2 Peter 3:18. And the command to grow. The command to grow in our knowledge of Jesus. Our congregations and our families and our just individuals. As individuals, it's easy to struggle with this. If you struggle with this, you're not alone. We all struggle with this. I feel like I could do more. Do you feel that way? And there are a lot of resources we just need to manage. Find the good ones and manage our knowledge and manage what we're hearing and what we're seeing and what we're feeding ourselves and our families. Before we sing the invitation song, I would ask if anyone's here today that's not a Christian, do you know Christ? Well, I know about him. Yeah, I've heard about Jesus. Typically go see a good play every Christmas, something like that. Big fan of Easter. What Jesus invites everyone to, though, is to know him beyond the data sort of knowledge. Very surprising is the fact that God is seeking a relationship with his creation. He already knows everything about you, and he's inviting you to know about him. And to know Christ is an invitation throughout Scripture, to abide in the words of Jesus, to think about them, and then to do them is really what it means to know Christ. Do you know Christ? Do you know that he came into this world not only to help us know him, but to demonstrate in a very powerful way his love for you by dying on the cross for you? It's not a very complex message. Sin is in the world and it's a big problem. And if you've ever experienced sin, which we have, we know it's a big problem. It ruins lives. There are people with diseases that are incurable. Sin is not one of them. The blood of Christ is the cure. Because sin is compared to debt, and what Christ did is compared to payment of that debt. We as Christians should be loving life, knowing that our sin has been washed clean. Our debt has been paid. And if that doesn't drive us to know more about Christ and to understand more about him and about the life we are to be enjoying with him, I don't know what else could. But if your desire is to know more, we're happy to study with you. If you're in a place right now where you want to become a Christian, you want to begin that walk with Christ today, the command is very simple, is to repent and to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Christ, you were then added to the church and you become a part of Christ's body. And now that's a great resource we have in each other. If the church can help you in any way, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?